Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 30th of October. The storm, Sandy, of course, has changed the campaign itinerary of both presidential candidates, and it probably will do something to this election, although I'm not sure what. We're going to talk about Ohio this hour. The state, which is, again, the gateway to the presidency. And Governor Romney has said Ohio could well be the place that elects the next president of the United States. And there's something to that. In the last six elections, Ohio has supported three Republicans and three Democrats. It has the nation's best record of backing victors since 1900. The last time it failed to pick the winner was 1960. And so there's a whole lot of attention on Ohio. The candidates have been there repeatedly. Our guests this hour are going to look much more carefully at the state of Ohio. There are six distinctive regions in that state, and special attention must be paid to each of those regions. We'll be examining those and look at the path to victory for Governor Romney or President Obama in the state of Ohio. We have two guests with us this hour. We start with Joe Ingles, who is a news reporter at Ohio Public Radio and Television, and a little bit later, Daniel Coffey, associate professor of political science and a fellow at Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. We welcome your phone calls. We always do that. And that phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And you can always leave messages for us on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hello, Joe. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen.
Are you reeling from the storm? How hard hit was Ohio?
Well, we really didn't get a lot of the storm. I mean, we have some power outages, and we have snow on the ground in some areas, and we have massive wind, a lot of wind.
Yeah, I guess we're getting that here now, too. It was such a horrendous event to watch unfold, wasn't it? Oh, my.
Awful.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. Yeah. Now, it's really uprooted the campaigns. You have been visited nonstop. I understand Governor Romney is doing a storm relief event today in Ohio. Do you expect that after there's been some of a cleanup, you will see many more people there? Or what's the campaign schedule? What does this storm do to the schedule in Ohio?
Well, that's a good question right now, because it's kind of uprooted the schedule for the time being. We don't know exactly when they're going to come back in Ohio. That's kind of up in the air. But we do know that especially with Governor Romney, he will be here on and off doing some relief events, that sort of thing, to try to help out people who've been hit by the storm.
Mm-hmm. And President Obama, will he be returning, do you think?
Well, he might be, depending. I mean, it seems like all of his energy right now is focused on this storm and the victims, and he did send his surrogates. He had former President Clinton and Vice President Joe Biden here in Ohio yesterday, but even that's become more low-key. He seems to be focused on the storm right now.
Right.
Plans.
Well, you've covered politics for a long time. I know this is hard to gauge, but tell me what your assessment is. So many people have been affected by this. They're flooded. They don't have food in the house. They can't get around in New York City. It's pretty much closed down. New Jersey's in bad shape. The whole East Coast. It seems to me as though this could affect turnout in an election, don't you think?
Well, especially there, it could affect turnout. I mean, one thing to remember here in Ohio is Ohioans have been early voting in person or by mail since October 2nd. So we've already been voting. A lot of people already have their votes put away and have already made decisions. But out in, you know, those states that you're talking about, a lot of them don't have the early voting that we have. And a lot of them are gearing up to Election Day. And I know you and I both have probably heard the same reports that some of these power outages are going to take some time to restore. So, you know, it definitely could impact those states even more than Ohio.
Well, somebody's going to have to do something about that, right? You can't have an election where people can't vote.
Right. And, you know, I've heard more than one person tease about postponing the election. And in Ohio, when you tease about that, that gets a collective groan, because Ohioans have been besieged. We've had the ads. We've had the candidate visits. It's relentless here in Ohio. And when you talk about, putting it off for a few more days, everyone just, no.
I'm sure you've about had it. Yeah. How many people have voted already? You've been at it for October 2nd. That's a long time.
Yeah, I tried to get that number this morning, and they didn't have the numbers updated. But we do know that there's about a million, somewhere in that range, that asked for absentee ballots and by mail. And we do know that, people are going to the polls. So it's clear that, hundreds of thousands, I'm not really sure how many at this point have voted, but it looks like quite a few.
President Obama said, if we win Ohio, we win this election. Governor Romney said Ohio could well be the place that elects the next president of the United States. Are they right?
Well, yeah. No Republican has ever been elected to the White House without winning Ohio. That's a fact. And for Governor Romney, winning Ohio is crucial. And our polls here are showing that this is a very tight race.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading about your state, and a lot of the analysis, the more complete analysis, talks about the fact that there are distinct political regions in the state of Ohio. Would you agree that there are, and if so, what are those regions?
Oh, sure. Ohio, we like to say it's a microcosm of the United States, because it really is. We have our metropolitan areas, Cleveland, for example. We have a big city there. Has a lot of the big city bustle that you'd find in other big cities. But if you just go a little further to the left and go down the road, you're going to go to, the area where we have a lot of manufacturing over going toward Toledo. That area, you're going to find a lot of different kind of issues facing that area. And if you go to the south of Cleveland, you're going into the south and to the east, you're going to find that's coal country. So you've got, a lot of coal mining, a lot of fracking now coming online, that sort of thing. Columbus, the area that our bureau is stationed in here at the State House, this is a very service-oriented economy. It's also state government, the center of state government, so a lot of government jobs here. Tends to be fairly well off compared to some of the other parts of the state. And then when you go down to, say, Cincinnati, you're going to find Cincinnati is a little different, too, because it's got it's traditionally one of the more conservative big cities in the state, although they went for President Obama in 2008. And that's, if you look at it, that's really where Governor Romney has put a lot of emphasis, in that Cincinnati, southwest Ohio area. The rural part of southwest Ohio has always been very red, and you can kind of count on it staying red, because it's going to stay that way. But if he can get that Cincinnati, Hamilton County area to go his way, that could make a big difference in how the state of Ohio goes.
And which candidate first of all, describe, if you would please, how localized the campaigns are. Are both of the campaigns pretty sophisticated when it comes to understanding those regions, and have they put TV ads that respond to what's going on in those regions on the air? Do they have a ground campaign that's different in all of those regions, or is one campaign doing that better than the other?
Well, it depends. The ground game is different depending on where you are. We know that, we had this big, huge battle over weekend voting in Ohio. It went to court. The Obama administration said we should have that last. There was a change in Ohio law that got rid of weekend voting before the election, and the court order says now we can have that weekend voting coming up this weekend, this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the election. Now, that's important for the Democrats, because in Cleveland especially, that's a highly Democratic area. You've got to turn out Cleveland if you're Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area, during 2008, they had something called Souls to the Polls, where they brought in tens of thousands of people to vote for President Obama. And, on buses from churches, that sort of thing. So they're going to get the chance to do that again. The Democrats have been holding these special themed events to get people to go to the polls, to make it a kind of a fun experience. You see them on college campuses. They'll have, an actor or They had Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas here at these events. But they'll get something that the young students like, and then they'll bring in a bunch of buses, and they'll take those kids to the polls and get a lot of them out there voting, early voting. So that's one way. Another way is to work through the clubs on campus. They're getting, for example, I covered a story last week where they had a lot of OSU women's studies, women's club attendees who came in on a bus to go early vote at the early voting center, and they were OSU students. So we're seeing a lot of those things from the Democrats. We're seeing the Romney-Ryan pair hit more of the suburbs and the rural areas hard. They are coming to the cities, but their focus is going to those really red areas and trying to turn them redder. So we're seeing them in some smaller venues throughout the state that you know typically haven't had presidential visits. Just the past couple days, we saw them up in Defiance, Ohio. Now, Defiance is near Toledo, but it's an area that's typically very red, and they have a lot of manufacturing up there. And so Rami Ryan was up there, and they had, I think it was 13,000 people, but it was a significant crowd up there. And so we are seeing that. The Democrats say that their ground game is better, but the Republicans say, wait, no, ours is better. The Republicans,
right?
But the Republicans say they've knocked on about 1.4 million doors, and they've made about 4 million phone calls, and that's about 30 times as many doors and 5 times as many phone calls as the Republicans did for McCain in 2008. But the Obama campaign, they point out that they have 131 field offices in Ohio. There are 88 counties in Ohio, so some of those field offices, there's multiple ones in the larger counties. Romney only has about 40 field offices. And both teams are working with volunteer groups and that sort of thing on top of their field offices. But, you know, probably the one thing that I think is really important to note here is that the Obama campaign never really left Ohio. After 2008, they were still here on the ground. Last year, Ohioans voted overwhelmingly to repeal an unpopular law that restricted collective bargaining.
Yes.
And President Obama's campaign was there on the ground. They were helping with that effort. They were alongside the unions and the Democrats, and they provided resources for it. And, you know, they brought in people who maybe typically didn't vote for President Obama in 2008, but they saw value in what they were doing. Now the question is, are those people going to stay and vote for President Obama now?
Right.
And that's what we're going to be looking
yeah.
at.
Yeah. Let's talk about the auto industry for a moment, and if this plays out differently in different parts of Ohio, what about the GM Chrysler bailout? How has that played? How many people are auto worker related employees in Ohio? How important is that issue?
It's huge. It's huge in Ohio. The auto bailout is a factor that Ohioans have been watching. One out of every 8 jobs in Ohio is tied to the auto industry. So that's a lot of jobs.
Yes.
And so the backing, you know, Obama's backing of that rescue plan, it plays well with people. But recently we've seen an ad from Romney that tries to convince Ohioans that he was for the bailout, too. And the Democrats are coming out in force against it, saying the ad is misleading and they're not happy with this whole thing. But Romney is also telling Ohioans in appearances and ads that Jeep intends to outsource jobs to China.
Right.
Now, the management at Jeep has come out and said, no, that's not right. We're not going to outsource jobs in China. We're saying that there's a market over there, and we want to start a plan over there that is not going to relocate any jobs from America. But the Romney camp has been talking about that a lot, and people are, you know, at least listening to that message. And you know, the Democrats say that the Romney campaign is trying to mislead Ohioans with that with an auto ad that really doesn't paint the true picture.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Our guest the first part of this hour is Joe Ingles, news reporter at Ohio Public Radio and Television. Ohio, of course, phenomenally important in this presidential election, so we're looking at a number of issues, and those are the issues that are most important to people who live in Ohio. Our guest saying that it's a microcosm of the United States and has been quite accurate when it comes to selecting who the president is going to be. So we're looking at that state. Thought it was worthy of our attention. We talked a lot about Wisconsin yesterday, and today it's Ohio. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. We have lines open for you right now, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, if you would like to use that, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Would you agree that whoever wins, be it Romney or Obama, Ohio, whoever wins that state, will win the election? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your phone calls, 800-486-8655. And let's go to Mark in Green Bay for our first call. Hi, Mark.
Hello. My name is Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
How does an emergency, like we were having right now, environmental emergency, help maybe people see that government is extremely useful and that there might be issues of global warming that almost every single Republican stands against? Wouldn't that sort of change voters in Cleveland?
Joe.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell because here in Ohio, we have the jury's out on global warming. We have a lot of voters who think that global warming doesn't exist, that it's not a factor. And we have a lot of voters and environmental voters who think it really is a factor. So it's not something that we're hearing the candidates, either one of the candidates, speak about in Ohio. In fact, environmentalists have been very upset because the candidates are not talking about global warming. But in some areas where you talk about the environment, you're alienating voters. The very voters you're trying to reach, you're alienating them with that message, because if they work in manufacturing or if they're working in coal mines, or if they, you know, some of these other demographics in Ohio, that can work against you. And like I said, I don't think that there's a consensus that what we're seeing now is a result of global warming.
It is one of those issues that nobody seems to be addressing. It was interesting. I was watching a lot of the storm coverage last night because, as many families do, we have relatives, family members who live in New York, and it was amazing to me to go back and forth. All I wanted was straightforward coverage of what was happening with this storm. And I understand we're a week before the election, but it was such a turnoff. I don't know if other people would agree with me. You watch one channel and they're saying global warming had nothing to do with this. You go to another channel and they're saying Mitt Romney, if he were president, would dismantle FEMA. And I'm thinking, just give me information about the storm. Politics were very much a part of that. And I would imagine in the last few days of the campaign, we're going to see more of that, Joe.
Oh, I think so. I think there's no doubt that we're going to see more of that. I just, here in Ohio, typically the environment has not been something that candidates have really hammered home. They didn't in 2008 either.
Right.
It's just not an issue just because we have so many different groups and demographics out there that whole issue plays differently with them.
Yeah. Mark, thanks very much for your call. Sharon in Baraboo. Hi.
Yes, I'm thankful you took my call. I'd like to ask someone from Ohio about the voting machines. They seem to be in jeopardy, and that that someone has had control of the voting machines.
We have heard that. You know, those reports are out there. But as far as Ohioans expressing, a groundswell of concern about that issue, I think most Ohioans, if you talk to them, they aren't really concerned about the voting machines. For some reason, that has not resonated with the public, and I don't know that we've been given any real evidence that shows that there's a problem in Ohio with our voting machines. People, because of the way we vote, too, that's a different thing. I mean, we have a lot of people sending their ballots in by mail. We have a lot of people going in and voting on machines early. We have a lot of people who just want to wait until Election Day to cast their ballot, you know, because of the fear of voting machines or whatever. But it's just not an issue that we hear people yelling about here. It seems like it's something we read about people yelling about it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about this voting early thing. I guess maybe I'm just old and I've always gone on Election Day. It's kind of a thing you do on Election Day. But after you see a storm like this, you realize if you have a long period of time to vote, it may behoove you to vote before Election Day because you don't know what's going to happen with the weather, right?
Well, and that, and the reason that Ohio has so many early voting opportunities is if you remember back in 2004, Ohio was kind of a poster child for the nation on what not to do in an election. We had some areas of the state where people waited 8 hours after
goodness, yes. Ooh.
To cast a ballot. 8 hours. We had people who were in Cleveland who were not able to cast their ballots on that day because, you know, they would wait 4 hours or 5 hours and still couldn't get in line to close enough to cast a ballot. And after that, there was a huge cry in Ohio to change voting so that we didn't have these problems on Election Day. And that's the reason all of these early voting opportunities were created. And in fact, in the 2008 election, we had many more early voting opportunities than we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of swung the pendulum the other way because the county boards of elections were saying, wait a minute, we can't keep up with all this. You're voting 24/7. Next thing you know, you're going to want to vote at midnight. So so they wanted it pared back, and the legislature did pare it back. And but it still seems like Ohio has a lot more early voting opportunities than most other states.
Yes. Well, you have a busy week ahead of you now that it's been hasn't been busy for probably months and months, if not years, right?
Right, right.
Thank you, Jo, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jo Ingalls, news reporter at Ohio Public Radio and Television. She's based in Columbus. We continue our conversation. We're looking at Ohio this hour and their 18 electoral votes because heavens knows everybody's looking at Ohio, particularly the candidates who've been there quite a bit. Daniel Coffey is joining us, associate professor of political science and fellow at the Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. Professor Coffey is the co-author of Buckeye Battleground, Ohio Campaigns and Elections in the 21st Century. We have people on hold who want to talk about the Senate race and more on the auto bailout, and I promise you we will get to you momentarily. Professor Coffey, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
We just had this intriguing idea that was brought up by Joe. I don't even know how this happens. If it, for some reason, it becomes very, very difficult to secure power in parts of the country to make sure that voting machines are accessible and that the lights are on and the machines are working, are you hearing any kind of talk about postponing this election?
Oh no, I haven't heard that at all. I mean, the election sort of constitutionally set for November 6th, and here in Ohio, I mean, the damage has not been particularly bad. You know, you're talking about concentration on the East Coast, as I understand it. So I can't imagine any scenario where the U.S. election would be postponed.
Mm-hmm. It would take an act of Congress, I guess, to change.
It would be pretty severe. Right.
Right. Well, everybody's in Ohio. Are you really where it is? We shouldn't look at anything else on election night, but what's going on in your state?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of election modelers out there, and basically every scenario that they have come up with involves the winner winning Ohio, and that's been true for a long time in the United States, the last decade or so. In terms of these series of close presidential elections, and I definitely expect this year that the winner will win Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And from your observation, who has the more sophisticated, broad-reaching ground game in Ohio? Can you tell?
Yeah, I think even the Romney campaign would admit this. The Obama campaign, this is a point we cover in our book, and we have a lot of students who work for both political campaigns, so we get a lot of information on how they're operating on the ground. The Obama campaign has somewhere between double and triple the number of local field offices. There's approximately somewhere between 100 and 130. The Romney campaign has somewhere between 50, I think, and 60 field offices. These are very important in terms of canvassing you know, contacting local voters, putting up yard signs, all sorts of things like that. Our analysis found in 2008 that definitely tipped the balance in favor of Obama. I'll point out that George W. Bush had more local field offices than John Kerry did in 2004. So that kind of grassroots effort, definitely in a state that is so close, is the kind of thing that can push one candidate over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Do you have us look, for those of us who are watching this very, very carefully, are there certain counties, be they important because of suburban women or because of people who are disgruntled about the economy, unemployment rate may be high in a certain part of Ohio, counties that you're looking at that will be absolutely crucial to reading the results in Ohio?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and I think it's interesting to see how individual counties vote. I really caution people not to place too much stock in any one individual county. Regions probably tell us a little bit more about how the state, that is collections of counties. More than anything, it's not as interesting of a story, but the major counties, especially counties like Cuyahoga, Franklin, and Hamilton, simply swamp. You know, Ohio has 88 counties. There's about 10 that have the bulk of the population. How turnout is in these very large counties is really decisive in terms of determining the outcome of the election. I was doing an analysis for someone else, and we were looking at sort of the so-called swing counties. And if you look at Franklin County alone, Obama gained 50,000 votes over John Kerry. That, you know, I think that's 10 times the amount of vote switches in these other small, again, quote-unquote, swing counties. I will say that the two areas probably people are focused on in addition to that would be Northwest Ohio, which is the home of the classic Reagan Democrats. Obama saw a very large increase in his vote compared to John Kerry in 2008. We expect that will continue into this year. A swing area is in Southeastern Ohio. That's an area where Obama did poorly relative to John Kerry, and he's expected to do poorly there again. So really what's going to happen is when we aggregate this statewide, it's a question of how many people turn out in the large urban counties that will probably tip the balance between Romney and Obama.
And don't you already have some indication of that? Because people have been voting since October 2nd, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, the early voting is sort of a new thing. It started in 2008 here in Ohio. The indicators, such as polling or some sort of vote counting by precincts, would indicate that Obama has a lead approximately 2-1. The problem with reading too much into early voting is that it is a moving target. People are allowed to vote all the way up until the weekend before the election. We don't know how many people decide to vote early and you know, how many people will wait until Election Day. So this is really only an indicator. A study conducted by the Bliss Institute, that's where we are, found that both Ted Strickland and Barack Obama in 2008 and 2010 won early voters. The question is, we just don't know what the composition of the overall electorate will be. That is, we don't know how many people are early voters as opposed to Election Day voters. So the indicator right now is Obama's doing well, but we won't really know what factor that plays until Election Day.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls for you, and we can add to those if you'd like to join our conversation. The number is 800-486-8655. The email, talk@wpr.org, or go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, but we do have lines open for you right now. Alice in Gays Mills. Hi, Alice.
Good morning. I was just wondering if the professor was alarmed by the amount of deception that the Republicans have.
Alice, we can barely hear you. Can you get closer to your phone?
Yes. I'm alarmed by the amount of deception that the Republicans have used in this campaign, particularly Governor Romney and Josh Mandel, as rated. You could rate it by Pants on Fire or other measures, I'm sure. But when you couple that with the Secretary of State attempting to play with the voting rules this year, it's concerning to people outside of Ohio, and I wonder how the professor feels about that.
And what kind of deception are you concerned about?
Well, you discussed earlier how Governor Romney had pretty much misled the citizens of Ohio, who I think are very intelligent, but misled them about the outsourcing to China by Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
Chrysler even corrected that. And there have been numerous instances of fudging with the truth on the part of Romney and Josh Mandel.
Okay.
They both got any pants on fire, if you go with PolitiFact.
What about those Jeep ads? Daniel?
What I'll say is that Ohio, I think a recent study found that we've had 58,000 political commercials there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's apparently it would take 80 days of nonstop viewing before you saw everyone. Both campaigns are really trying to both mobilize their base of supporters and persuade the relatively small number of independents. The campaigns in an election play hardball, and I think I can't really say that I have a sense that either one is sort of better or worse with the facts. I'll leave that for other analysts to decide. The early voting fight, there's no question there was an attempt to limit early voting. Some people have, maybe there are ulterior motives. Certainly, if early voting benefits one particular campaign and another, there's some attempts to limit that. We could see that as an attempt to try to alter the election. But Secretary of State John Husted felt that the rules were not being consistent across counties and across the state. Again, that's his argument. I try not to read into the motives of what people are doing.
Thanks, Alice, for the call. Donna in De Pere. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Yes, I want to address the fact that Governor Romney is trying to take credit for the auto bailout in Ohio. It's absolutely beyond disingenuous. It is lying about what he did, and I'd like someone to address that because that is a huge, huge fact for the people, the voters of Ohio.
All right, and let's start with the second part of that, how large that issue looms as people go to the polls, the bailout.
That's a big issue. I mean, the auto industry is very big here. I have a number of students who work in many of the auto factories, or parents who work in the factories, or the related industries that are connected to the auto industry in and around, especially northern Ohio. I think there's no question that that hurts Governor Romney's campaign in the state, and that's an advantage for Obama. He's definitely perceived as getting credit for having rescued the auto industry. And importantly, one of the reasons I think that Obama ultimately is going to carry Ohio is in part because the unemployment rate here in Ohio is lower than the national average. Now, why that's important is because for almost a full decade, Ohio's economy since about the year 2001 has been substantially worse than the national economy. Now that it's better, that's unusual. Ohioans have had a struggle for a long time now economically. Things are actually, the unemployment rate's down to 7% statewide. That's a 2 percentage point drop from this time last year. I think that's going to weigh very heavily, and the auto bailout is part of that.
Hmm. Focus your attention on the coal industry in southeast Ohio, which seems to be an area where Romney is working, and perhaps somewhat successfully. The Obama administration's policies are described as a war on coal. How important is that part of the electorate, and how substantial is the Romney presence there?
It's important. Bill Clinton did well in southeastern Ohio. George W. Bush did well there. So it's one of the true swing regions of the state. There is no question that the president's position on coal and his overall position on environmental issues is very unpopular there. It's one of the few regions that saw a decrease in voting for President Obama. I'll also point out compositionally, that region of the state is very different than the rest of the state. It's much less racially diverse. Many people do work in coal or other sort of industries like that. And so the president has been unpopular there. In fact, Hillary Clinton's strongest support was in that region when she ran against Barack Obama. So Obama has never been popular in that region. For Romney, the goal is to drive up turnout as much as he can in that region and try to win big victories there to hopefully match the president's strength in the urban counties. The problem for Romney and any candidate is that those counties, the population's tiny. There's less than a million people in the entire region.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about Ohio this hour of the program, and it bears repeating. Well, everybody knows that it's crucial. Just look at how many ads have been run there and how often the presidential candidates have been there. 18 electoral votes could win the election if Romney wins or if the president wins. Ohio could be the deciding factor. So we thought this hour we would talk to people from Ohio who've been studying what's going on in that state. Daniel Coffey is our guest right now. He's associate professor of political science and fellow in the Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron, co-author of Buckeye Battleground, Ohio Campaigns and Elections in the 21st Century. We welcome your phone calls. Here's how you reach us. A couple lines are open for you at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we return Daniel Coffey, Associate Professor of Political Science, University of Akron, co-author of The Buckeye Battleground, Ohio Campaigns and Elections in the 21st Century. Do you, those of us who are following this extremely carefully, Professor Coffey, wonder, because we're down to a ground game now and a lot of people are analyzing polls. I heard you say earlier that you thought that Obama would carry the state of Ohio. What are you looking at? What makes you say that?
Well, there's probably three main factors that would come to mind. As I said, the state economy is improving. When economies improve statewide, nationwide, that generally tends to favor incumbent candidates. In fact, most election forecasting models are based on economic performance. So that's one factor.
Mm-hmm.
The second factor would be, as I said, the field office advantage. The Obama campaign has basically never left Ohio since the election in 2008. These field offices have remained open, many of them, for four consecutive years now. The other factor is that the polling, part of what I do is public opinion polling. And survey research, and the number of different polling agencies or firms that are conducting polls are finding a fairly stable set of results. That is, using different methodologies, different models for likely voters, some including cell phones, some not including cell phones, are all finding Obama with a narrow but steady lead. And so if the race were closer, we should see more bouncing back and forth between different types of surveys. Instead, every survey is more or less measuring a consistent lead. And so it becomes very difficult to see as we approach Election Day for voters to change their minds in the last six days. So.
What in the world do people in those field offices, what have they been doing for 4 years?
Well, some of the Organizing for America is what they were called. So they transformed from sort of field campaign offices to sort of public outreach offices. So they might help voters register. They might perform other sort of services for people around neighborhoods. And they were sort of partially there in place to essentially keep a sort of a footprint in local off areas. One of the unique things that the Obama campaign does especially is that they often place what are essentially interns in and around the states for long periods of time. And that way, instead of shipping volunteers into areas that they don't know about, they might send college students to live in an area for upwards 6 weeks or 12 weeks at a time to conduct get out the vote operations. And again, that seems to provide them with a bit of an advantage in terms of turning out voters.
Right. Let's go to John in Eau Claire. Hi, John.
Hello?
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yes, my concern is Mitt Romney's son manufactures these voting machines that are going to be used in Ohio. And I would think that there would be a tremendous conflict of interest in itself. And I don't know how anybody else feels about that, but I think that if Mitt Romney's son has anything to do with these manufacturing things, who's better to manipulate the votes than the son of the Mitt Romney there? So,
Daniel.
I think I heard you speaking to Joe Engels about this, there is a lot of concern. We hear a lot of different theories about the voting machines. I can tell you that I took part of a research study back in 2006 with the Pew Research Center. We looked at voting machines. We looked at different in different counties in Ohio. We went to poll worker training sessions, et cetera. Generally speaking, there's been a sense that in the last two elections, 2008 and 2010, voting has worked very well here in the state. The machines have been audited. They seem to be working well. Lines are not too long. You know, in 2004, there were many problems, and that's part of what led to some reforms. But every indicator, and you can talk to Democrats on Board of Elections across counties, and they're pretty confident the voting is valid and that it works.
Thanks for the call. Joanne is next. Hi, Joanne.
My question deals with early voting totals, and when are they counted and added in with the regular vote, both in Ohio and here? And I guess the reason for my question is that sometimes I think candidates concede too early, and I had heard something about absentee ballots that they counted them later or something, which to me doesn't make sense. But anyway, I'm just wondering how that works.
You know, that is a very good question. There's one of the, I believe, in terms of the procedure, I'm not an expert in that kind of procedure. What I do understand is that the early vote totals are collected as they come in. The votes will be counted on that are on election day will be counted on election day. And so county boards of elections will be reporting their results in, and we will have a pretty good sense, hopefully, of who the winner is on election day. The problem is, as the caller points out, that there's also absentee ballots, which will be arriving up through election day. And then there's another thing in Ohio in which we have what's called provisional voting. That is, if I show up at a precinct, Ohio precincts often have multiple you show up at a voting station or, a school, and there's multiple precincts in that school. Now, if I don't know my precinct, I might cast a ballot, but that's a provisional ballot. They will then check to see whether or not, I am a registered voter. And as I understand it, if you the ballot will be placed with the correct precinct. It will take some time to go through those provisional ballots. And so there is a possibility, if there is a very, very close vote, that the counting of those provisional ballots, the determination of whether or not they are valid, will not occur until November 18th, or I have to check the calendar on that, but sometime after the election when the votes are actually certified. So there's a tiny possibility that we actually will not know the winner of Ohio until a couple weeks after Election Day.
Oh, my gosh.
The Secretary of State has said he won't count those ballots until the final certification. So that's as I understand it right now. And I apologize for any inaccuracy there, but that's what I understand the process to be.
Thanks, Joanne. Senate race in Ohio, closed or not?
Expected to be, no. Sherrod Brown should win pretty easily. There's both parties have very solid basis of support in the state of Ohio, but there's never been any indication that Josh Mandel has a chance of winning. There's a sense among many Ohio Republicans that Mandel probably wasn't their strongest candidate. There was a sense Mary Taylor, who's the lieutenant governor, might have been a stronger candidate, and Brown probably should win comfortably.
Pete in Wausau, hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
my question is going back to the auto industry bailout that occurred. I'm surprised that the Democratic Party doesn't push the idea that equally or even more important than bailing out the auto industry, you need to generate a market for their product. and that the Cash for Clunker program, not only did it generate sales, created cash flow, because as I remember, as probably as well as you do, at that time people weren't spending money, and if you help out the auto industry, it doesn't do any good unless they sell some cars. And also now you're replacing the vehicles with more fuel efficient, so it even helped with the fuel consumption, and it was I think one of his greatest programs. I'm surprised they don't push that a little more.
We have seen more of that here. Actually, the congressional representative here, Betty Sutton, was the co-sponsor of that legislation, and in her advertisements and her messages, she has been pushing that. But it's true that that issue probably hasn't gotten as much attention. It seems, you know, and I think this has come up, environmental issues are a touchy subject here in Ohio. The things like cap and trade, the stimulus package, cash for clunkers, tend to get bundled together correctly or incorrectly. And so I think there's some hesitancy in terms of worrying about bringing that up as leading to other subjects that are less popular.
And thanks very much for your call, Pete. We have time for one or two more calls if you'd like to join us. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We haven't talked very much about social issues. Abortion certainly has become an issue in some of the Senate races, gay marriage, other kinds of social issues. Are they just not very present, not very important to Ohio voters?
Well, you know, in 2004, they were very important to Ohio voters. The Bush campaign successfully made use of a grassroots network of evangelical voters on social issues. I think there's some hesitancy on the Romney campaign that maybe it's not as personally a comfortable fit, but every indicator is that Ohio voters are just obsessed with the economy, and so maybe it's a strategic decision on both parties not to really bring that up here. Voter issue preferences tend to reflect to some extent what the campaigns talk about, neither campaign has really brought that up mostly because of the probably their internal polling is indicating that voters just care about the economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Did he get people to the polls?
You know, he's. I think he stops in Cleveland every year before the election. You know, I. You know, whether what he does or what other people do, both campaigns basically do everything they can, bringing in celebrity endorsers to help them. So, you know, I think whatever they can to turn out that extra voter, you know, if a concert here in Cleveland probably the weekend before, I don't know if he's scheduled to be here Sunday, he usually is the Sunday before the election. Maybe it helps, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I understand Governor Romney and Paul Ryan are both in Ohio today, aren't they?
Yes, and Barack Obama actually will be on our campus tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, or he's scheduled to be anyway. Yeah, the campaign's definitely set up shop here. In fact, in 2004, on Election Day, President Bush flew into Ohio to make phone calls. So it's definitely long been the case that the presidential campaigns really, you know, they do everything to win Ohio voters.
Do you like having all the attention, or are even you, who does this all the time, tired of the whole business, Daniel?
I think we like it. I mean, I love doing calls like this, you know, we get so many people showing up here. It's kind of fun. I mean, you can't help but enjoy it. I think, you know, we always hear people say they're sick of it, but I've never heard a person say they're tired of hearing Pepsi commercials and they're not going to drink Pepsi anymore. You know, so yeah. So
right, I got you. Thank you so much for being with us. It was great.
Sure.
Conversation. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Daniel Coffey, our guest, this part of the show. He has a book. He's co-author of Buckeye Battleground, Ohio Campaigns and Elections in the 21st Century. He's associate professor of political science and a fellow at the Bliss Institute of Applied Politics, University of Akron. And we also thank Joe Ingles, a news reporter at Ohio Public Radio and Television. Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers produced this program. Thanks to both of them. A reminder, tomorrow, it's the second in our book club discussions, The Federalist Papers 4, 9, 10, and 51. And we will be interested in hearing your response to that. We'll have two guests who will guide us through a discussion of this as we approach an election. These are important papers to be reading. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all of your calls this morning. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.